This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome, everyone, to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne. This is the place to be for local talk. Folks, we've got some serious local issues to talk about today. So stick with us as we go through your noon hour. We're here every weekday, including Wednesdays with Denise. Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Have a good weekend.
It was great.
Okay.
Had a great time hanging out with
people. It's just a fabulous time to live in the Mid-Valley, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Got to get out and do something.
I have to keep saying that even though I don't truly believe it in January and February. Got a little bit of an attitude problem about January and February. But all right. Hey, there's some really important stuff I want to share with you guys. I had the good fortune of being in the room when these things are discussed, and not everybody can, so I'm going to share it with you.
Okay.
Last week, there were two events. The Chamber of Commerce has a public policy meeting once a month at least, and usually it's a pretty interesting topic, and so I pretty regularly attend those. And SEDCOR, our economic development organization, we've had both on the show actually, they do a forum lunch, and there's a speaker. And both of these things had to do with things that affect our pocketbook. What do you know?
Right.
What do you know?
Always.
SEDCOR's forum had a speaker having to do with what's going to come up in this so-called short session, and how much should we hold on to our wallets. But let's start by talking about the public policy meeting at the chamber, because I walked in and I knew it was about a new tax.
Right? Oh, boy. Yeah.
City of Salem, the city council passed, we've talked about this many, many times, passed the fee that's showing up on your utility bill. It's an operations or whatever. But they also sent to the May ballot, folks, you'd be able to vote on whether or not you want to have an employee tax in the city of Salem.
Thank God they did that.
I took this conversation home.
Oh.
Talking to the wife.
Yeah.
And she says, it worked like what? They're going to do it. They're going to charge what? And she goes, how does the city plan to get people to vote for that?
Right.
I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it is involved. And what was great about it, they had a panel. So we had the city manager, Steve Powers, was there. Did a lot of the talking, but also two counselors, Brad Nanke, who opposes this tax. Opposed it in its entirety. He's not going to vote for it in the ballot. He didn't vote for it, taking it to the ballot. And Tom Anderson, who is one of the more, probably the most progressive member of the council representing Ward 2. He showed up, Brad Nanke showed up, the city manager, the police chief.
Really?
Chief Moore was there, and the fire chief, Niblock, was there.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things that I don't think you folks know about that I would like to share. Some of the things that were most interesting in the hour came at the beginning from the chiefs and at the end in discussion from the crowd.
Wow.
So let's start with fire, shall we?
Okay.
Because this tax, theoretically, is supposed to go to supporting a more robust public safety. The money's supposed to go to public safety.
Okay.
Okay. There's problems with that, but we'll get to this. Money's supposed to go to public safety. It's going to raise $9 million a year. It's going to be a small tax on employees. So if you work in the city of Salem and you get a W-2 wage out of your employer, that's going to get taxed at this 0.39 wage.
They're hoping that you won't notice it? Is that the deal?
Yeah, I think they feel like if it's small enough, there won't be that much
Well, if it comes right out of
pushback.
Your paycheck, most of the time you don't notice it.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. Like they say, you want to start a rebellion, pay everybody in cash and a stack of money, and then have them go down the table and give up the money to each successive tax person. Well, please pay your Medicare tax. Please pay your Social Security tax.
Oh.
Please pay your state tax. Please pay your federal tax.
It'd be
please
all over.
Please pay your workers' compensation. Yeah. Please pay your city tax. You know, yeah. You do like that, and people start to realize how small their pile became in a hurry, instead of just tossing their pay stub. All right. Anyway, it's supposed to go to public safety. and I get this. I'm very public safety minded. It was very important to me when I ran for city council. And I think it's the number one role of government.
Right.
So I think if you're not doing public safety well, there's little reason to do anything else. What good is it to have beautiful parks if nobody feels safe in them?
Right. Right?
Or who's going to be here to pay the taxes if no one feels safe? So public safety. And sometimes it's life and death. So some things from Chief Niblock, and it was nice to see him in the building. So at the chamber, he talked about in 2006, we had there was a bond measure. I was part of the council that put it to the market. We got a lot of things for $24 million. We got a lot of things. We got like, I don't know, get the number right, 15, 16 different pieces of fire equipment. You know, all the, the ladder trucks, the water trucks, the grass firing, you know, trucks, all of them. We replaced them all. We got a couple of new fire stations that didn't exist before. We got two more rebuilt. We retrofitted seismically and emergency power for all the stations and so on and so forth. So looking back at that and how many more calls we're getting now than we did 10, 12, 15 years ago. So the goal is that when you call 911 and you're having a heart attack or your house is on fire, that the fire engine rolls up, emergency response rolls up within 5.5 minutes.
That's pretty good.
That's the goal. The goal is 5.5 minutes, 85% of the time. So that's the target.
What are they now?
Now they're only achieving that about 70% of the time. Not 85% of the time.
Well, it's still pretty good.
I didn't get the number for what the average response time is, but it's more than 5.5 minutes 70% of the time. So what that meant to the chief was that there were 3,500 calls last year in 2019, 3,500 people that called 911 that didn't get the response time that is the target set by the city council.
Hmm.
So he said to achieve this, and if you're bleeding, folks, someone's not breathing, or you're on fire, 1 minute is a long time.
Oh,
so multiply it by 5.5. So I was asked of the chief, or he offered, what do you really need to achieve that? So Chief Niblock said, for us to meet that 5.5 minutes, 85% of the time, I would need three more complete engine companies. Three more complete engine companies. That's three fire stations and ongoing costs of about $5 million a year. Wow. That's how short we are of our standard.
$15 million?
$5 million. $5 million a year after we...
Is that just one or all three?
That would pay for three more engine companies.
Oh, okay. $5
million. So, wow.
That's a lot.
That means to get to where we want to be, to jump there from right now, let's not think about 10 years from now what the need is.
Yeah.
$5 million more in the budget that doesn't exist. Wow. Now you kind of see why is the city council going after $9 million? What is it with this extra tax and so forth? Right? 3% increase over the year before, 26,000 calls that got directed. And most of those are medical calls, folks.
Right.
I mean, they do fire, obviously, but most of those are medical emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about those numbers not going down, they're increasing. So, the easy answer is just to change your goal to 10 minutes, right? That's the question that's going to come before the voters. I get the attitude that, hey, the government's asking for money again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I get it. If you don't like that, vote no.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's their responsibility to say, this is our level of service. We think it's inadequate. What do you think to the voter? That's kind of how I took it.
That would be better.
How I take it. And I get it. We're all weary of bond measures and taxations, especially after when we're going to get to what the state's done. But there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, this is our target. This is our par. And we're not achieving it. Is you have a problem with that and you're willing to pay a little bit more, right? So let's 0.39. Everyone who's making minimum wage is exempt. So those the minimum wage does not pay the employee tax. If you're making minimum wage to $15, you get a discount and you pay about a third less. And then beyond $15, you're paying 0.39%. You're like, oh, Brett, with the numbers. So,
but I like it when you check the numbers.
So, all right, $50,000, which was an average household income. Ooh. If you make $50,000 and you're paying 0.39%, you have to make sure there's an extra zero in there, right?
Right.
It's about $16.50 a month. Right, almost $200 a year, $195 a year, for somebody making $50,000. Not somebody, but a household that makes $50,000 a year.
It's not too bad.
You make $100,000, suddenly it's almost $400.
Would you notice it?
That's what's going for the city. Would people notice if, $15 less than the paycheck? I don't know. Some people... May, absolutely may, especially if you're making $15 an hour.
That's the difference.
Yeah. Anyway, they're not going to, obviously, it's not $15 to them, but it'd be more like $7 to them in a course of a month, right? All right. More about this, and really interesting as well, when we talk to Chief Moore and what his thoughts and what it means to public safety. And before we're done, folks, we have to explain what's wrong with this thing. There are so many things wrong with the thing on the ballot as it sits today. I'm Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne. Stick with us. This is important. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back, folks. Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne. We're talking about the payroll tax that's going to be on the May ballot. Thank you to the Chamber for putting this public discussion out in front of people so people get a handle on this. Because there are issues with it, and the city's going to hear about it. They're going to get feedback from the Chamber having to do the discussion after they left, all these representatives. And not the least of which is they didn't define public safety. We don't have a definition of what public safety means. We think fire and police.
Yeah.
But could it all, of course, it's 911 center as well. But yeah. A lot of people, that doesn't come top of mind for people. But funding a 911 center, fire, police, is sidewalks. Wait. How about road crossing, pedestrian crossing? Can you put that into public safety? Pedestrian crossing improvements?
Heck. Traffic lights, stop signs.
What is the definition?
Yeah,
we're going to get to some of those problems. I want to finish talking about what the police chief and the fire chief are talking about and what it means to them. Where's the need? Because that's their first task. They got to explain to the public this is the need and why. Mm. And if you have not called 911, you probably don't care what the response time is. Right?
Yeah.
You probably have never noticed that it's not very fast. So, or potentially. Sorry, guys. City manager, Steve Powers, I said, was there. He gave us a chart and said, look, in 2001, for every 1,000 residents that lived in the city of Salem, there were 5.25 employees, the equivalent. 5.25. So now we are almost 20 years later, and there's 4.25 employees. So now, do we really want the city to be doing less for us because we have 20% fewer employees than we had 20 years ago? So over 2 decades, we've shrunk the number of people working on our behalf for the city by 20%. Now, these are statistics, and I'm always wary of statistics. What's missing in that number is, how many things were outsourced? Because if you've hired an outsource for printing or park maintenance or anything,
right,
then they're not public employees anymore. But even so, the trend is down. So,
wouldn't that make it better?
It depends on how many services you want from the city and how many you work willing to pay for. It's certainly not better when it comes to police officers.
Well,
for
no,
me.
But that's Is that part of the employees roster?
Yes.
Because it would be the police force.
Yes. So Chief Moore was there. Three fewer police officers than he had 10 years ago. Folks, this is Brent's opinion, but that's not okay.
No.
He should be a city the size of Salem should be growing by two police officers a year.
Yeah.
And we have three fewer than we had a decade ago. That puts us, you know, 23 behind.
Ouch.
Right? In a certain perspective, yeah. Way behind.
And they're expecting, what, 60,000 or more in the next 10 years?
60,000 in Salem-Keizer by 2035, yep.
Wow.
Yeah. The population growth has been up 5% over those 10 years, right? So population has grown, number of cops fewer, number of calls more.
More people.
Right. So previously, they had a response time of about 5 minutes. You know, you call the 911 and a police officer is dispatched, right? So there's somebody at my house, there's domestic disturbance, there's a robbery, whatever. 5 minutes response time. Now it's more like eight. Not 8 minutes. Calls have gone up by 22% in this period of time over 10 years ago. 22%. So now we have three fewer cops, 22% greater calls, and they can't get there. That's a problem.
That is a problem.
This is a huge problem that needs a solution. Maybe that we need the solution more than we need a plastic bag ban, but I'm just saying.
Or straw.
Anyway, so.
Didn't the mayor say that they were looking at these two taxes? One mm-hmm. This is the only one that's going to the voters, and the other one is going to go through anyway.
Yes.
One of them was to stop the bleeding in their budget,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was to help with the public safety?
Yep.
Is it this one?
You got exactly right, yes.
Oh,
this one,
I actually paid attention.
The first one, stop the bleeding. Way to go, and you recalled it all. That's pretty good.
I recalled it.
So the tax or that's showing up on your utility bills probably next month is going to make the city so it stops bleeding. Which is going into reserves and spending more money than they're bringing in. And then this one is proposed to restore services that we've lost and things that are behind, meaning public safety. All right.
So please explain, though, because if we have more people here with more houses, don't we have more taxes coming in?
Mm-hmm. We do.
So how do they not have enough money?
Because the costs for the city are going up at a faster rate than the tax revenue. So it starts with this fact that, you know, if you go to these meetings, you hear this a lot, but a lot of the listeners probably never heard this. But in the city of Salem, if you take every dollar of property tax, every single dollar,
okay,
it does not equal the amount of money we spend on police and fire.
Okay. Somebody's budget's
off. It's
not
enough. All the revenue that comes in doesn't pay for our current level of services in police and fire, and we're showing you that we're about $10 million behind in what we should be spending for a city of our size for the number of emergency calls that we get. So property tax is not cutting it, and it's never going to keep up with the increases when it comes to PERS, of course, right?
Oh, that.
Healthcare. Wages.
Ugh.
So all the costs of doing the business increase over time. And it's a good lesson for governments to learn. This is happening to businesses too.
Yeah, right.
People at the Capitol get this. It's much more and more and more expensive to provide services. Well, it is in the private sector as well. All right. So it's a good question, though. Yeah. And absolutely, the property tax is not rising as fast as the costs. It's a lot of money to equip a police officer.
Yeah, right.
Right,
I get it.
And don't go into the police facility costs, blah, blah, blah. That's a completely different bucket of money.
Uh-huh.
That is a bond measure. It is a physical asset. It's not paid for with general fund dollars. It's not paid for with operational dollars. So don't compare the two, folks. All right, back to the chief.
Okay.
All right.
Didn't mean to sidetrack you there.
So there are times, you know, though obviously police... Chief Moore here in Salem said there's fewer officers to, you know, deal with traffic citations and enforcement. But there is time there's no officers available.
What?
Well, there's no officer. You call 911, and all the officers that are currently on duty on patrol are already somewhere else.
So who comes?
Nobody.
What?
Right. So it absolutely lowers the ability to respond to everything. Drug house complaints, you know, traffic accident, and so on and so forth. So it was really eye-opening in that regard.
Yeah.
He said at one point he got word that there were 30 calls for police officers in queue.
What?
Now, that's the exception, I think.
But yes.
It happened.
Wow.
Meaning you've called for a police officer presence, and he's like, I don't even have 30 cops on the street right now, but the ones he did have were all handling something, and there's 30 waiting. So he says for his workforce, he's burning out cops. He's burning out his whole department. They're all working overtime. They have to beg them to work overtime to have enough coverage on the street to try to keep us safe. That's how bad it is today, folks. And you may not feel it because you're not calling a cop every day. But when you need them, and when things deteriorate because they can't handle the level of crime and issues in the community, we're all going to feel it.
Yeah.
Harder and harder and harder going into the future. That's their case for we need money for public safety.
Oh.
Right? I get it. I'm like, I just want to write a check. Here, Chief.
Yeah.
Here's more cops.
Here's my $5,000 for my coverage.
But it was really eye-opening. It was a good opening of discussion. You know, we're 5 months out from the election. It was great for the chamber to host this and their public policy session. And now more people are understanding, and hopefully the listener understands it as well. Way, way behind in number of cops we're hiring. Way, way behind.
Wow.
In Salem. And it's not like it's getting better. This payroll, the employee tax, they're talking about implementing it 2 or 3 years from now. So we're going to be going backwards for a few more years in terms of response time and the number of officers on the street and the number of trucks we have rolling and so forth for another few years, even if this passes.
I don't feel that this is a solution to the problem.
That's a very good point, because right when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what all the problems are with this tax.
Okay.
And all of them brought up by a very good audience at the chambers, poking holes in this thing. And you can see why Councillor Nanke says, I'm just not with you here. I see the need, and I don't think it's a good solution.
Okay.
Stay with us. This is Brent with Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich, and welcome back Newsmakers Monday, and we are talking about taxes.
Salem tax, and it's never before collected, and you know that always sits people sideways. It does for me, you know,
especially on Monday.
The corporate activities tax from the legislature last year, never before collected in Oregon. Matter of fact, there's now four states that collect a tax on what they call corporate activity, commercial activity, depending on your vernacular, meaning they're going to tax you if you're selling things, even if you lose money. Right?
Yes.
So
I don't
new tax.
Yeah.
In Salem, let's get down to nitty bitty why this was selected. Because we've talked a little bit about the Revenue Task Force. The mayor's talked about it when he's been on the show. They brought in a lot of good community representatives and talked about different ways to raise revenue. Some were horrible ideas.
Right.
Some were terrible ideas. The two that floated to the top were the city fee and this. And the point about this is you can't really hide from it. There's like 60,000 people that come into the city of Salem every day, most of them state workers that do not live here. They do not pay property tax, right? There's no sales tax. They don't pay any taxes in the city of Salem, yet they're using the roads. They're relying on the fire department and the police department to provide the services, the water system, and everything else, and they're not contributing.
Now, I get that.
Yep. So there's a flip side to this, and I could sit here for 10 minutes, every other 10 minutes, and argue flip side, because Councilman Anke will say, well, you can't tax them because they're not represented. They don't live here. They don't have a vote.
Yep. Good point.
And I get that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Visitors from another land come here. We're still going to charge them the gas tax. We're still going to charge them the hotel tax.
True.
And they're not represented when they pay their hotel tax. So I don't know how persuasive that is. But that's the population that they feel has not been contributing, that is able to tap. You have state workers coming in from Eugene or Wilsonville or Portland or whatever, working here, utilizing the services, and leaving.
Okay, I got a solution.
What is it?
I just came up with it. Not that I absolutely hate the idea, but it would probably work. A toll on every road into Salem.
We should do that. A toll. You know, don't come into Salem.
You only pay Dave. When you come in.
Dave.
Or you
we
go through.
We want people to come in.
But that's how you support it, okay. Rather than a payroll tax.
We'll throw that around. All right, the payroll tax.
Because then you would be represented. Well, I guess you wouldn't be represented. Never mind.
All right, never mind. All right, so that's part of it. And I feel it, because the state doesn't pay. And if you're not familiar, folks, so the state, think of all the property in the middle of in town, plus all over town,
right,
that the state owns, yeah, they pay no property tax.
Why is that?
So, because it's exempt. The government.
Why is it exempt?
Exempt because they're not profit. So nonprofits, like churches, nonprofit organizations, and government entities do not pay property tax. So Eugene is about our size, but they don't have this budget problem because Salem is the seat of state government, county government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even Courthouse Square downtown, no property tax. So there's a lot of very, very valuable real estate that doesn't pay any property tax. And that's why Salem has this problem. Yeah, try to get that by the legislature. And Eugene doesn't. All right, so this is this idea. And I get the need. I'm all over the need. I'm like, find some way to pay for this. We should have better public safety in Salem, and certainly moving forward as it grows. $9.5 million they're proposing raising, $16.25 a month if you make $50,000. Okay? Here's the problem. And Jason Brandt, who's been on our show, he's now with the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association,
mm-hmm,
and used to lead as the CEO of the chamber. So he was the moderator, and he said, have you done any polling? And they said, no. Hello? It's an election thing. You shouldn't be putting it on the ballot without information about whether or not you have a prayer.
Probably going to go down in flames.
So his point, having seen a lot of campaigns, is that if you're doing a money campaign, you need to poll people. And if you don't have 60% support in your polls, don't go to the ballot.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have, there's going to be a campaign, and people are like, it's a money measure. You're going to, some of the support's going to erode, and so on and so forth. But you need to start at 60%. It's probably not worthwhile going out. They don't have the information. Problem one.
Okay.
It's on the ballot already. Don't get me wrong. They've already decided to push it on the ballot. So people in Salem are going to vote for this in May.
Okay.
Two, there's no definition of public safety. We talked about that.
Yeah.
There's no brackets around it, and there needs to be brackets. There needs to be. This $9 million will go to increase the number of police officers and can increase the number of fire stations or fire crews and so forth, and 911 center, whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem, three, they didn't have a very good definition of what's going to get taxed.
What?
Right. So I think, and I was sitting next to a CPA, I'm like, it's W-2 wages. It's W-2 wages. Because the question was asked, is it self-employment income? No, it's exempt. Well, what's self-employment income? Is it an S corporation? Is it an LLC? Is it a sole proprietorship and they're not taxed at all, but the same person who, you know, instead of a sole proprietorship, writes a payroll check, then they are taxed. What is going to be taxed? And that extends even further in more complicated manners when you talk about somebody who, you work for KYKN, you get a W-2H.
Right.
What happens when you drive out to Silverton for a day for a remote? Should you be taxed on that money? What happens if you are a home builder and the office is in Salem, and sometimes you're building it. But 3 months of the year, you're building a house in Dallas. Do you take that off? Who administers that? The business? That's a lot of things to keep track of. And a lot of people don't work in one place all the time.
This is true.
All right. Now that's another problem. Let's get to the biggest problem that exists. Let's get to it.
Drum roll.
There's no way for them to tag this money to public safety. They say it's for public safety. They're making a case for the need, which I have bought. But this money, potential of $9 million, there's no way to dedicate it to public safety because it's going in the general fund.
Oh, no.
So they can say, hey, we're going to spend this on public safety. So two things wrong with that.
I see three.
Oh, gosh. I would try to find a visual analogy for this.
His brain cells are exploding right at this moment.
So the first problem is the people who are making the decisions right now, the counselors, most of them will not be here when this money is collected.
Correct.
Right? Brad Dahnke will not be there. Kara Kayser will not be there. I don't know if the mayor is going to be here two more election cycles from now. Jim Lewis in West Salem is not going to be there. He's going to finish out his 4 years. That's four that we absolutely know about. And I would guess that at least two more, at least, will be gone. So the people spending the money a few years from now are not the people who promised to spend the money on public safety. This is a problem, folks. This is a structural problem because you want to sell it to the public as it's public safety dollars. It's going to go to public safety.
But it's not designated for that.
As Councilor Nanke is fond of saying, you cannot bind future councils on what decisions they make with their budget.
Right.
Right? So you can't silo it. You cannot put brackets around the money coming in and say, this is going to be spent in this manner.
Mm.
In addition, and again, Councilor Nanke, we thank you for your, he's always so rational and everything. It's like squeezing a balloon, folks. So you imagine this long clown balloon. You can add $9 million to the public safety part because you promised it was all going to go to public safety. But you could bleed out another $5 million and spend it on a climate action plan.
Right.
The people in the room who do not like our current council, do not trust them with the money, they're heck no people.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to spend on? You're going to say, oh, here's $9 million for public safety. And they're going to like, oh, well, maybe public safety only needed $5 million. So I'm going to take $4 million away from public safety that they were getting last year. I'm going to take it away and I'm going to spend it on bike lanes, sidewalks. I'm going to spend it on weather balloons. I don't know, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of those. It goes into the general fund. It's just one balloon. It's just you squeeze it and you can puff it up over here, but you can also bleed it out from over there to go, you know, and so forth. So
there's a lot of bleeding out in the general fund.
You see the problem with the tax? Yeah. So there's no polling. We have no idea if they should even putting resources into this thing. There's no definition of public safety. There's no ability to earmark, is another word, or silo the money. So you can't bind it that's actually going to be spent on cops and fire engine companies. And there's no great definition that's clear as can be on what wages are subject to this and what wages are not.
So we'll hear Brent's solution to that after the break. Do you have a solution? Suggestion, maybe.
Yes. I have my thoughts on it.
Okay.
And let me share some of the thoughts of the people in the room because it was a good group. Stick with us. We'll be right back and finish up about Salem's new tax on the ballot. This is Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. We're spending the hour talking about the public policy session coming out of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce last week. City Manager Steve Powers was there. The police chief, the fire chief Niblock was there. Councilor Anderson and Councilor Nanke talking about why this is on market, why it's on the ballot, how much it'll raise, what the need is. We're talking last segment about what all the problems are.
Yeah, right.
So I said, these are problem. I'd probably still vote for it.
Really?
I'd probably still vote for it just because how I feel about public safety. And having sat there on city council now, 2008, 12 years ago, I saw the problem then. I was stumping for the number of cops then.
They still haven't addressed it?
It's gone backwards. We went into the recession, and it's slipped backwards. We have fewer officers per 1,000 residents now than we did in the mid-2000s. And I was like, no, we need to get to the national average at least. All the issues at the time with meth and even some resurgent gang activity and such. Like, we need at least have an average number of officers.
Right.
And I was pushing for, you know, targets to increase the number of, well, it was going the other direction. The number of officers per 1,000. If you weren't with us earlier, we were talking about how there should be adding 2 officers per year to keep up with the population increases.
Yeah.
5% over the last 10 years, 22% increase in calls. And instead, we have three fewer officers than they had 10 years ago. And the ones we have, we're burning out. You think we're not going to lose them to other jurisdictions? We're going to lose them.
Yeah.
So either other jurisdictions or other careers that aren't saying you have to come in and work overtime and very, you know, it's you're a police officer. It's a high stress job. All right. So you asked before the break, what solutions do I have? I would probably vote for it for all its faults because of those things, because the need is so strong and the money is not that consequential. But I totally get people saying, heck no. Because of those issues. And the people in the room that I didn't really gel with, the people saying, I don't trust this council. I think the city is being mismanaged. I agree with both those statements.
Ooh.
I think they should distrust this council.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's being managed well. Not by Steve Powers. He's doing the best he can. It's the decision makers. It's the policy makers in city council I do not want to give more money to. Right? But got to think globally and long term. None of them are going to be there. Not none of them, but potentially none of these people who are making decisions now will be there in 2024.
Which is another reason why I would vote no on it, because 2-3 years down the road? Yikes.
Yeah.
That's not a problem solver.
Right. So what are the alternatives? City provides fewer services elsewhere, right? Where? No, you have to cut parks. You got to cut the library. You got to cut neighborhood associations, support neighborhood services, and so forth. You can't cut enough to make the police officers whole. Remember, we're spending more money on police and fire than we are collecting in property tax. Another option to get money that you can earmark for public safety is to do an operating levy. A levy as opposed to a bond. A bond pays for buildings and structures. A levy can pay for operations. So Polk County is a great example.
I was just going to say, just like Polk County's one.
Just like Polk County. We could do something like Polk County, and then that money is earmarked, and it's specified in the ballot measure exactly what it's spent on. X number of cops, X number of fire engines, X number of firefighters, paramedics.
Right.
911 center, whatever it is, district attorney office in the case of Polk County, right? Problem with that is, property tax. It's on the property tax. That's property tax. And the goal of this mechanism was to tax people who are filling Salem with individuals during the day and then leaving and not contributing to its economy.
Okay.
That's unfair. Not contributing to the base of services that we have to provide.
No, they're working in the city and not living here.
Right. So that was what was, at least to a certain point, attractive about this mechanism for a lot of people.
Again, city land should be taxed. Government land should be paying taxes.
Yeah, you're never going to get that.
Why not?
Because the legislature would have to change its mind and then take money out of the legislature's pockets to pay for the cities. So the county, the city doesn't pay its own property taxes to the county, and county doesn't pay it to the city, but the state doesn't pay it to anybody. They do give a check to the transit, Marion County Transit.
That's it?
In lieu of. It's called a contribution in lieu of property taxes.
Do they pay electrical bill? Do they pay water, sewer?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Still not paying their fair share.
So that is an issue. It's great to have the employment base, at least if people are living in Salem, have the employment base in the town, and that's the state's argument is we already contribute by providing a relatively recession-free, stable workforce, you know, stable job market.
Okay.
Right? We employ a lot of people, and people don't tend to get laid off in state government, and so on.
True.
And so forth. The problem is how many people who are outside the city come in, right?
Right, yeah.
It is funny, since we have all these green people, these anti-carbon people, and they're doing nothing about 50,000 people, tens of thousands of people coming into the city in their cars, mostly single occupancy cars, to come work for the state. They're doing nothing about that.
Well, they started carpools.
Yeah. Anyway.
In the electric cars.
That's what we're looking at May, folks. We'll have more information, and we will we'll have more information in the city. We'll have to clarify some of these things between now
yes,
and then.
Yes, I want to hear that.
All right, tomorrow we'll head off tomorrow with SEDCOR and talk about what's coming up in the short session, and we'll look forward to talking to you then. Thanks for being with us at Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne for 1430 KYKN.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.